I'll leave it to others to judge the Prime Minister's conduct in this matter, but it was very important to me that I be a man of my word. I said I would walk away from the agreement if it wasn't honoured, and that's what I found myself having to do. I was in a diabolical, or I had a diabolical dilemma last week. On one hand, to be a man of my word and to honour what I'd said. On the other hand, to try and get what poker machine reform I could. Now, interestingly, Sunday, 8 days ago, when I met with the Prime Minister here in Hobart, the Prime Minister offered me a compromise. It was too weak to accept, and we spent the week trying to get it to something closer to what we had agreed to. And frankly, I would have been prepared to move on the timeline if that's what was needed to get these reforms in place. I was told in no uncertain terms that if I didn't accept that agreement 8 days ago, then I could accept I would end up getting much, much less. I'm pleased to say that the Prime Minister did eventually, in fact, announce exactly what was presented to me 8 days ago, in fact, as the government's package. So as far as I'm concerned, I think I've been a man of my word. I hope people, particularly in the electorate of Denison, understand that and understand why I've done what I've done.
How hard has that decision been to come to? I mean, you now forfeit so many of the privileges that you had secured under the deal with the government 18 months ago. You lose the capacity to meet weekly, one would imagine. You lose some of the other things that you were interested in talking further about, the rights for independent parties to ask questions on the floor of the House and so on. Is all that gone?
No, that's not all gone. But to answer your first question, how hard was it? It was a dreadfully difficult decision. It was a diabolical dilemma. You know, be a man of my word or to accept a weak compromise. I am pleased that I've been able to do as I said, and I am pleased that we do have at least a stepping stone to better poker machine regulation in the future. But a stepping stone it only is. Now, in regard to Denison, you know, I also have to consider Denison's welfare and doing the right thing by my constituents. I'm pleased to say that the $340 million I secured for the Royal Hobart Hospital, most of that is now in the state treasury, and the minority that hasn't been paid yet is locked in. So that $340 million, contrary to what my political adversaries or opponents say, is mostly new, virtually all new money, and that is secure. On the other big promise I made at the election of poker machine reform, we do have a stepping stone to reform in the future. The challenge for me now is to maintain a good working relationship with the government. I will still meet with the Prime Minister.
Will you meet weekly? When Parliament is sitting?
We did discuss this on Friday evening, and we did agree that I did need to meet with her regularly, but probably not weekly, as has been the practice. Look, I'm confident that the government still needs me. There's any number of pieces of legislation coming up which it doesn't have certainty of numbers, so it will need to tread very, very carefully with me to keep me on side. You know, the Parliament now, it's back to a one-seat majority, and I think it's a much more fragile one-seat majority than it had previously. You know, there's been much said about Peter Slipper and Craig Thompson. Something else could happen. The government would be quite foolish to burn me. I was very surprised to read a piece in The Australian today from political insiders in Tasmania, which did quite a political hatchet job on me. I think if they continue in that vein, they need to be very, very careful.
Let's talk about Craig Thompson. Interestingly, the New South Wales, or the MP representing a seat in federal parliament out of New South Wales, has come out today and said the reason that the Prime Minister dropped this reform was because she was pressured by New South Wales MPs who didn't want to stand it, didn't think they could take the political heat. Is that the reason that this is
fallen over? Look, some people will draw the conclusion that the Prime Minister was never going to honour the deal with me. One of the interesting things I discovered in my travels last week as I tried to hold this agreement together was when I met with Tony Crook in Perth. He said that he had barely been lobbied. He could only think of one occasion when the government had come to him and asked him about supporting the legislation. So there is a prima facie case that the government was never going to honour it.
Are you coming to that conclusion now? Are you wondering if the Prime Minister has been effectively stringing you along for the term of this Parliament to get things to a point where she can find another number, as it looks like she's done in the last weeks of the Parliament for last year, or some other plan?
Look, I certainly feel very let down. And I think many Australians feel let down, that we all felt that the government had its heart in this. And look, full marks to Jenny Macklin in particular, the the relevant minister who has had carriage of these reforms. You know, she is a very good person, and I know that she genuinely does have her heart in poker machine reform. The Prime Minister herself, her electorate in Melbourne, has one of the highest rates of problem gambling in this country. I remained hopeful through the whole process that the government would honour its agreement with me. I feel mightily let down at the way this has played out. You know, it was not an easy decision to tear up the agreement, but at the end of the day, Leon, I make the point again, this ended up becoming much more than an issue of poker machine reform. It became an issue of being able to trust our politicians to do what they said they would do. One of the reasons I was elected in Denison is this feeling of dissatisfaction and concern in the community with the behaviour of our politicians, with the behaviour of our political parties, that everything is about the political self-interest of these politicians and these political parties. And if I can have achieved one thing, whether I'm a one-term wonder or I'm here for 20 years, if I could have achieved one thing, it's that I honoured an agreement I made with the government, and I honoured a promise I made with the community.
Sure, one thing you haven't achieved, or you may well not achieve, is any reform on poker machines. If there's a change of government, if, as has been enunciated today, the Prime Minister's plans for a trial in Canberra that would then string out beyond the term of the life of this Parliament into possible legislation beyond. Have you been played for a sucker in this?
Well, that's why I couldn't support the proposal that was put in front of me 8 days ago, because, yes, a trial is a good idea, and I always supported a trial, but the key stumbling block was that the government's, now the government's plan, what was its proposal, now its plan, relies on the goodwill of a future government to legislate informed by the results of the trial, whereas I insisted the key point of the agreement between the government and me was that legislation had to mandate a firm start date and leave it to a future government to try and overturn that firm start date. Look, in fairness to the government, you know, the reforms that they have announced are quite remarkable. Perhaps the most remarkable thing is that for the first time in this country's history, the federal parliament will intervene in gambling regulation in Australia. And I think that's
riding over the interests of the states in some cases.
That's right, Leon. That will, for the first time, and full mark to those you know, who have been campaigning for reform for all this time, because that is a very important precedent that has been set.
So you will continue to talk with the Prime Minister on a semi-regular basis. Have you spoken with the opposition in the days since your deal with the government has fallen apart?
Yes, I have. Tony Abbott, in fact, rang me shortly after my press conference.
This was yesterday?
No, on Saturday. He rang me on Saturday afternoon to note what I'd done. He was obviously pleased with what I've done. You know, Tony Abbott obviously is running his own political campaign against the government, and this was not unhelpful. But look, my comment on Saturday that I see a warming relationship with the opposition has been taken a little bit out of context. The point I was making then, and I want to make again now, is that up until the agreement was null and void, I was clearly closer to the government than the opposition. I mean, I was giving the government certainty of supply and confidence. What I intend to do now is to ensure the relationship is absolutely even, equal, that I have exactly the same relationship with both the government and the opposition. And given that three of the members of parliament are aligned with the government, three of the crossbenchers are aligned with the government, Tony Crook's a WA National and Bob Catter's got his own party, I now have the honour and the distinction of being the only true independent in the parliament.
And that means that you might well vote one way on one issue and another way on another.
Well, that has been the case in the past, in fact. I've tried to approach every issue on its merits, and I'll continue to do that. But whereas in the past I had to provide certainty of supply, particularly on the budget and all of the budget measures, that meant that I was honour-bound by my agreement to support aspects of the budget I didn't agree with. For example, I was concerned that the tightening up of criteria for the disability support payment was unfair, but I was honour-bound by my agreement to support that budget measure. That sort of measure in the past I wouldn't have to support, and I wouldn't support.
And so things change now in terms of the way that you will look at the legislative agenda in front of you. What about Bob Brown's move for dollar limits on poker machines? The Greens came out as you were forging your own path on poker machine and gambling reform and announced their policy. What about his move for dollar limits?
Will you support? Oh, look, I think that's a good idea. In fact, my opening position with Julia Gillard and Tony Abbott after the election in 2010 was $1 bet limits, but they both dismissed it. And I know why, because industry modelling shows that that will have a greater effect on the industry
profit. Does this have any chance of getting up the Greens policy?
No, not a chance in the world. Regrettably, if it gets to the House of Reps, I'll certainly support it. But you know, this is what I've been trying to achieve for 18 months. So, you know, it's good that the Greens are continuing to push for poker machine reform, but I don't give that reform any chance, unfortunately.